The following program is part of the Inner Circle Podcasting Group. Go to innercirclecomics.com for more high-quality podcasts.
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
That girl ain't lying. It is question of the week time. My name is Matt Baum. I'm one of the hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast and one of the hosts of this show, too. Of course, I can't do it alone. There's two of us. The other one is digitally across from me. His name is Mighty Joe Patrick. Say hello, Joey.
Hi, I'm feeling pretty mighty.
Here's how it works. Every week, Joe Patrick, our head questioner, posts the question on the Two-Headed Nerd forums. You can find him by going to twoheadednerd.com. Click the little forum button. It's cool. You'll love it there. From there, you can post your answer on our forums with all the other extremely heady and intelligent nerds that are there, or you can call us at 402-819-4894, or your final option is to send us an MP3 to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. Either way, it's got to be below 2 minutes. You have to share the air, a bunch you want to play, and we want you all to do so. But before we can get to you guys, I need to know what that question was for this week, Joey.
This week's question came from Black Scorpion the 3. You know him, you love him. He says, despite sponsored content being a new concept in journalism, corporate tie-ins are not a new phenomenon in comics. I'm pretty sure that they've all been ridiculous and completely over the top, but I love their absurdity while cringing at their quality. What are your favorite corporate tie-in comic books? So an example we gave was the KFC DC Colonel of Two Worlds.
Right, right. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
Let's get right into it with our very own Anthony, currently living in Brooklyn. I'm doing it different.
Can you not say it right one time?
I refuse to do it. I'm going to do it different every time.
Sup, nerds. Anthony currently residing in Brooklyn here. That's right. I put from and residing together to form residing. That's a combo. Just like my answer, Combo Man, which was Marvel Comics teaming up with the Snacks combos to create Combo Man. And I'm not going to lie to you. I straight up ate combos. I loved the pizza ones, and I would bite them in half and lick out the pizza jizz center. I'd eat it up and felt terrible about it. Like, if you've ever seen New Jack City, there's a scene where Chris Rock, who has recently gotten clean of heroin, starts doing heroin again, and he's bawling and crying, and he's like, I'm so sad I'm doing heroin. Spoilers, sorry, he doesn't remain clean. I felt the same way while eating combos, but I kept doing it. Anyway, this was apparently an 8-page comic, which I've never read, but I just found out, written by industry veteran Mark Grunwald. But what I did do was pore over the ad in the comics, and it was a picture of Combo Man, who is 14 Marvel combo characters put together in one man. And if you could name all the characters, you could send in your list and win prizes, like a hat and a jacket, I think, with Combo Man on the back. And for a comic book super ninja like myself, easy task, right? No. And you know why? Because I couldn't figure out whose pants those were. Turns out, according to the internet, the pants belonged to Century, the character from Force Works.
What?
That's my answer.
Oh,
Combo Man. Thank you.
Okay, so not that Century, the other Century.
No, not the Century.
Right.
Century.
Got it.
Like 100 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because I'm looking at this stupid drawing. And I'm like, oh, man. I wonder, I mean, I get it. Mark Grunwald got paid. Good for him. Okay.
Hold up. I'm looking at Combo Man.
Before you look, if you had to guess what part of the Hulk he had, what do you think it would be?
Yeah, well, I know. I already know that it's his luscious hair.
It's Hulk hair. So dumb. Whose cape is he wearing? He's got like a big purple cape.
It's Magneto.
Oh, is that Magneto's cape?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was all good guys. Maybe he's bad guys too.
Well, he's Marvel characters. He seems to be more good guys than bad.
Yeah.
But,
there was a Combo Man t-shirt you could get. Wow.
Okay, like, I don't know how anybody could have possibly gotten this, because his boots are so nondescript.
Yeah.
They're just like silver banded metal.
Pretty much. And they're on fire.
No, his knees are on fire.
Oh, his knees are on fire. Well, there's fire coming out of his feet, too.
Oh, well, maybe when he flies, but the picture I'm looking at, he's standing still.
Okay, I'm looking at the cover of Combo Man number one. He's got a big purple cape. It looks like he has a Punisher's 2099 symbol on a Captain America chest piece. God, this is dumb. Maybe Sabretooth's arms.
Regular Punisher, Captain America, Sabretooth.
Got a Spider-Man web.
Spider-Man gloves. I believe those are...
Man.
Is that... His elbows look like Daredevil, but then... If you go down a little farther, his wrists look like Daredevil armor suit.
Man, the best part of this is there was a Combo Man shirt and a hat. The shirt cost $4.95. It was only available in extra large, of course. And the hat was $5.95. It was a simpler time.
Yeah.
Combo Man. Wow. It's going to be like this all day.
We devoted way too much time talking about Combo Man.
Oh, we really have. This is definitely the longest conversation that anyone has ever had about Combo Man. I'm going on record.
Except for maybe when they created Combo Man.
I'll bet the conversation was not that long. I bet they were like, Mark, we need you to do something for combos. Okay, go. That was it.
Oh, man. If you look at the if you look at a panel from inside the comic, he's got some sort of like weird tendrils coming out of his arms.
Like so Omega Red?
I don't even know who that is.
That's like Omega Red, right?
No, not like Omega Red tendrils, like red. They look like red vines.
Oh, God. Stupid.
I don't know, dude.
Thank you for your call, Anthony.
God. Oh, he's Carnage.
Oh, what a...
It's Carnage is who it is.
Man, all of this for a little pretzel thing with some cheese in it, huh? It's wow.
That, or as Anthony like to call it, that little jizzy thing.
Yuck. Gross. Never eating a combo again. Let's go to Shonix. Second to call us. He got right on it this week.
Hello, Twitter nerd. Shonix emailing in with my answer to the question of the week. Corporate tie-ins. That's a good one. A lot of good ones came to mind. The hostess ones for sure, but... The one that sticks out the most, and it wasn't because it was the best, but just because I'll just say when people find out that I read comics, they always have to tell me about this number one that they have, and it's got Spider-Man, Storm, and Power Man in it, and they fight the villainous Smokescreen. Now, back in 82, the American Cancer Society and Marvel turned on each other. They teamed together to do a PSA against smoking, and it wasn't the best comic. Cool team up, by the way, Power Man, Storm, and Spider-Man. I think in 2005, they reprinted it. I know with a new cover. I remember seeing that floating around the interwebs, but it was Cage, and it was like a different Storm. But I think they just reprinted the original. I don't know for sure. If someone's got one, I'll take one just for my collection. But that's the thing. Everybody would come, oh, I've got this number one, blah, 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 blah. And they'd bring it to me, and it's... that one. And I'm like, this ain't worth anything. Come on, people. But Smokescreen, he had a big SS on his chest. Wait, that almost sounded wrong. Well, there's a double S on his chest. That one would be the one that sticks out in my mind the most, that right when the question was asked, that's the first one that came to mind. But yeah, the triple threat versus Smokescreen. All right, guys. Talking to you next week. Peace.
Okay. He is correct. It was reprinted. But then...
It was reprinted a lot of times.
It was reprinted a lot of times. 1992, 94, 95. But then in 1998, we got an updated version.
I think the insides were the same, though.
Really? It just had like this badass, like, Midnight Suns 90s cover?
Yeah. Because I think the people credited for the story are the same. I think it's just the cover's different. It's got Luke Cage in his like silver shirt with a silver headband from like that 90s Heroes for Hire.
According to mycomicshop.com, same exact content, different cover.
Yep.
Yep. People used to come into Krypton all the time with those. How much is this worth? It's number one, but it's the first Spider-Man. It's the first Spider-Man. Like, does this
$2.
Look like... You really think in the very first issue of Spider-Man, he got together with Storm and Luke Cage and they fought cigarette smoking? Like, come on.
You don't know.
And then they'd be like, you're trying to rip me off. I'm like, yes, I am. You got me. Thank you, Sean. That was a horrible comic book. And I love that everyone's just like, well, not very good, but this is the one.
I remember my buddy had that when I was in the sixth grade. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, I've got it somewhere. I can't remember. I think I got it at school for free for something. I don't even remember. I think they handed them out.
And oh,
I was,
probably.
And I was like, awesome. And then I was like, wait a minute. This is total bullshit. Smoking is cool. Let's go to D. Murray. He sent me some wave files of his old metal band. They're really good. Like super technical and stuff. And I don't know. I think it's D singing. He's got a scary voice. He sounded really good. They're like Zach Wilde dude on guitar that was shredding and sliding all over the place. It opened with this big classical like piano synth thing. It was crazy. I was surprised.
Did you email him back to tell him?
Well, he's going to hear it now. This was me telling him I heard it.
Don't assume that.
Well, you know, okay, I'll email him too.
Man, he's just sitting there waiting, wondering what you thought of his metal music.
He's waiting to tell us about his corporate comic right now. Shut up.
Hi guys, D here answering the question of the week, and the answer has to be, since someone in the forum already said Combo Man, I feel like I can't use it, so it has to be Milk. We all know in the 90s that Milk was a big advertisement pull for like celebrities, talk show hosts, musicians, and especially comic book heroes. And when the superhero movie craze started to kick in, you saw Fantastic Four, Superman, the Hulk. You even saw Batman drinking chocolate milk. But yeah, that's my answer. Milk. Take it easy, guys.
Milk, it did a superhero good. I remember those.
Yeah, specifically the Got Milk campaign, yes, I believe is what he's talking
huge.
About.
Huge. I remember like Hal Jordan with a milk mustache and stuff.
That's weird. The Michael Chiklis Fantastic Four.
Oh, God.
Yeah. D, thanks for your call. And good job with the metal. You should keep at it.
Yeah, I don't know why you guys stopped. It sounded really good. I think it was from 2010, so it was a while ago. Maybe it's a different time of his life. I get it. We've all been there. Thank you for the metal, D. I'll give it a good listen. Right now, let's go to the Orca. I didn't even know they had corporate ties in Maine. I thought, like, Maine isn't Live Free or Die. Is that them, or is that New Hampshire? I think it's New Hampshire.
I don't think it's Maine. I think Maine is like, hey, pass the clarified butter.
Yeah. New Hampshire. They're the crazy ones. Take it away. The Orca.
Okay, nerds. Orca here. Kind of got to go fast today. It's Good Friday. I'm off to church after this. But I had four. I do get to a favorite, so don't give me that multiple answer nonsense, okay? First up, Captain America. Back in the 60s, they ran like a 3-page comic in the back of, I think it was Captain America 180, I don't know. Anyway, it was the one with the nipple guards so that Captain America could defend himself from his chainmail shirt. It's kind of weird. The only villain, I guess, was sort of chafing, but for nostalgia's sake, I like that one. Second, how about the mini comic inside the Lifestyles Condoms, the Superman book, where he had the kryptonite spermicidal jelly to, keep him from impregnating Lois.
That's right. I do remember this.
Down a bit so he didn't blow a hole through her. That was good. Rare view of Lois from behind. Not something we were used to, but one of my favorites. Anyway, the Spawn and Deadpool one, which is kind of a neat mashup. It was very similar to that one that Larry Bird and Michael Jordan did for McDonald's, except this is Pizza Hut. And instead of taking shots, they took turns showing which pizza their faces looked like with their masks off, you know. It's interesting from a historical kind of frame of reference because it was what led to Pizza not being able to call their hamburger.
Right?
Due to that and the grossness of it, they had to switch to calling it beef topping, which kind of makes me curious, but it's a good comic. Good little comic they put out with a kid's menu or whatnot. And then finally, I guess my favorite is the more recent one with Flash and Green Arrow, or I guess Arrow, as the kids are calling them nowadays, pitching Bengay because both their shows are so lame. Kiss, kiss, nerds. Happy Good Friday.
Oh, the Orca. We're going to give him an honorable mention. He didn't have any real answers, but they were all very creative. I'll say that.
Listen. This week we got a double dose of The Flash, and I have never been happier.
Yeah.
The Flash did a crossover with Supergirl, and it was the best.
I have started watching it, and I'm, six episodes in? I'm 6 episodes in. I haven't stopped yet. I'll say that. I haven't stopped watching it yet.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say. I'm not giving it a thumbs up or thumbs down yet. Let's go to the Google Voice. Our first voice call. No idea who this is. Oh, it's Mystery Husband!
Mystery Husband!
He still loves us!
Hey, honey, it's me. I was thinking about that question you asked me the other day, and I still don't have a great answer, but I was inspired, or reminded, when I was watching Batman versus Superman, there was a Dr. Pepper sign just randomly in the background when the Batmobile drove by, and I've always enjoyed those Dr. Pepper cans that had the faces of superheroes on it. I think it started with the X-Men, and now it's got Batman and Superman on it, so I know it's not exactly what you were looking for, but it's something to think about. Talk to you later.
No way, baby. That'll work. You're a hell of a man, and we're lucky to have you. Huh?
I wish he, like, really sealed the performance by ending each call with, I love you.
Oh, I know. Tell us you love us. We need you to do that. Like, we're not asking right. much. We're always here for you. You know, just tell us you love us. I would love that.
All right. So anyway, I got to get going. I love you. That's it.
I love Mystery Husband. And I love those old Dr. Pepper cans, too. They always had superheroes on them whenever the superhero movie was coming. It was kick-ass.
Yeah, I mean, I don't lie. I always get a kick out of seeing comic book stuff on, like, legit products that don't normally have anything to do with comics.
Although it's gotten completely ridiculous. There was, like, Batman versus Superman egg noodles at Hy-Vee the other day. And it's like, what in the hell? Oh,
please, when Star Wars came out, there was, like, every different flavor of Coffee Mate was redesigned to look like a different character.
Yeah, that's true.
Would you like some Darth Vader espresso chocolate creamer for your coffee? How about C-3PO hazelnut?
That's the only way I'll take my hazelnut, with C-3PO.
I came this close to buying a box each of the Batman and Superman breakfast cereal that are currently out in stores, but I read a review on Comics Alliance, and they are vile. Apparently, they are disgusting.
Just like the movie, huh? Which is funny, because like they're like, oh, yeah, here's the kid's cereal, and here's this. And if you bring your kid to the movie, depending on how old he is, it might scare them so bad they start crying.
You might have to remove your child from this movie featuring Superman.
But the good news is there's a rated R version that's coming to DVD for your child to see.
Right. Different podcast.
All right. Thank you, Mystery Husband. And even if you don't love us, we love you. And we just love to hear it if you do. You know, I'm blushing. Let's go to Tim Benson. He always makes us blush, too.
Hey, Joe and Matt. Tim Benson here. I'm just catching up on podcast. Wanted to call and say thank you for the birthday wish.
Welcome, had a great day.
Very little comics in it, actually. But it was a good day. Also wanted to call. Congrats, Matt, on your new restaurant. I'm excited to see it.
Thank you, brother.
And I'll be bringing a group of people there. So definitely check out the meatball restaurant, guys. If I get played, this is me promoting it for you. Also wanted to call and break some news for you guys. So in September 2016, Omaha, Nebraska, I'll be putting on an event called Panel Exploration. And it'll be a two-day event. Art gallery and creative workshop. Stan Sakai, featured guest, will be coming to Omaha September 16th. So look for that. I'll obviously share some more news, but I wanted to break it here on the Two-Headed Nerd. So,
awesome!
Remember, Stan Sakai, Phil Hester, Eric Gaster, definitely coming as well. And I've got about five other guests that are about 90% committed at this point. So looking to be a great show. And we'll be doing an art gallery of comic book art. So I'm piecing together an awesome collection for that. So like I said, just wanted to call, break some news with you guys. And thanks for the birthday wishes. Hope you guys are doing well. Thanks.
Wait a minute. He didn't even answer the question.
He did not answer the question, but he did break some news. Stan Sakai,
you know what? I'll take it.
Coming to Omaha. Now I can't kill myself until after that. I mean, Jesus.
That's a big deal.
That is a huge deal. That is so cool, Tim. Thank you for the breaking news. I love it. You didn't answer the question, but I'll take breaking news. That's fun.
So really, he was just calling to say, hey, I got this thing.
Yeah, which is fine. I don't mind that. I don't mind that at all. That's pretty cool.
I love it.
All right, all right. Jesse Kiefer. Jesse Kiefer, yeah, just, says, sorry about March, guys. He missed a whole damn month. That's okay, Jess. We're not holding against you.
Hey, guys. Jesse from GrawlixPodcast.com. I crawled back out of whatever hole I fell into in March to answer the question of the week. This week's question about favorite corporate tie-in. Absolutely no surprises. I'm getting right into it. It's Marvel Comics and Hostess. Those spots, the ads. I mean, the Red Skull with the Cosmic Cube is thwarted by Captain America, not because of anything that Cap does, but because the Cube is more interested in a Twinkie than following the Red Skull's commands. Those ads were so iconic that they had a parody commercial that they aired in the cartoon series Dexter's Laboratory. I'm actually kind of disappointed at this point that, you know, we're nearing phase 3 of Marvel movies and there's no fruit pie references or sight gags in sight. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, because if I miss one and it's there, I want to know about it. But if it's not there, come on, Marvel, this could be your Ghostbusters tell them about the Twinkie scene, and you're totally missing it. I mean, there's your Super Bowl ad. Forget about Soda Hulk and Ant-Man. All you need is Chris Evans' Captain America experiencing a Twinkie for the first time. I'm in. I'm sold. I'm getting hungry for canned fruit and a fried pie just thinking about it. So there's my answer, guys. Make mine Marvel Hostess fruit pies.
Those were classics. Those were definitely classics.
Oh, man, I love those sound effects.
Oh, I know. It's so cool. It's like he appears as if from nowhere. It's so tough. I remember Twinkie the Kid had like running like a strip that like ran through Marvel for a while. And Twinkie the Kid was like a sheriff, right, in the Old West, and settled all his problems with Twinkies. Like there was always like Black Bart's causing a ruckus at the saloon. And Twinkie the Kid showed up and was like, hold it right there, Bart. And let's enjoy this sponge cake with cream filling. Like, see, he's not so bad. He's just like you and me. He likes Twinkies. I don't recall the Cap and Red Skull one, though. I missed that one.
I don't remember the Red Skull one, but I do remember a Captain America one where he's fighting the Trapster, or he's trying to escape from the Trapster's maze of traps, and he comes across Nick Fury getting choked out by a goon. And the way he solves this dilemma,
Nick Fury is just like getting his ass kicked by somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. This goon is just like totally throttling Nick Fury,
like kicking sand in his face on the beach.
No, he's like got him around the neck. He's choking him.
It's for no reason.
Well, he's a villain.
Oh, okay.
And so because Captain America does not think that he can beat up this nameless goon, he throws he fills his shield full of Hostess fruit pies and throws it at him. And he can't help but stop trying to kill Nick Fury to eat those Hostess fruit pies so that Cap and Fury can escape, thus thwarting the Trapster's evil plan. The Trapster's not even directly involved.
So the Trapster is like, I'm going to get
on a monitor somewhere.
I'm going to get that guy so pissed at Nick Fury that he tries to kill him. And as long as nobody shows up with a bunch of fruit pies, this should be fine.
Fun fact, that was my first ever exposure to the Trapster.
Okay.
I had no idea what his deal was until like years later.
God, I can't even count how many times I've been in a homicidal rage and a Hostess cupcakes just settled me down, you know? Thank you, Jesse. I knew someone was going to bring up the Hostess business. It's just too good not to. Harvey Locust hit us very, very late. And he's also our final call.
That's right.
Harvey Locust. All right. This is a tough one. I understand if you didn't call. This one was tough.
Hey, nerds, sorry I'm late. My girlfriend got into a car accident today and threw my whole schedule off.
That so better be true.
4 o'clock in the morning, I'm recording this in the bathroom trying not to wake anybody up. And I don't even know if my answer is going to count because it's not a corporation. It's not a corporate tie-in. It's a non-profit organization tie-in.
Fair.
But in 1984, we were introduced to a little team called Power Pack.
Oh,
and all the little kids went, yay, heroes for us. And all the little kitty fiddlers went, yay, heroes for us. So Spider-Man had to team up with Power Pack and the NCAPC, some like that, to come out with a comic for basically against Kitty Fiddlers. And now I've never actually got to read this issue. What? I've been looking for it. Well, not actively looking for it, but it's something I've always wanted to pick up ever since I first heard of it. So yeah, that's my answer, guys. Take it easy.
It was about child abuse.
Yes, there was Marvel spent months putting huge ads that covered their entire back cover advertising this anti-sexual abuse comic.
Yeah, it was Spider-Man and Power Pack versus sexual abuse.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man is like swinging through the air and he's holding this kid that just kind of looks, I don't know, confused. Like maybe he was just abused. I don't know. He doesn't look happy.
Yeah. It was a very special episode of Power Pack.
Look, sex abuse is not something to joke about, but this is okay. I'm just going to read this little article I found. The infamous PSA comic from Marvel, the National Committee from Marvel and the National Committee for Prevention of Child Abuse and the NEA was published in 1984. But it isn't about Spider-Man sexually abusing Power Pack, if that's what you were wondering.
No.
Peter hears the kid in the apartment next door getting abused by his giant babysitter. You can read the issue here. She's gargantuan. But comes over as Spider-Man before it goes too far. Spidey then confronts the boy, telling him that about a time that he was molested by his friend Skip. What?
Total continuity.
Spidey doesn't name himself in the story, but it's very clearly a young Peter Parker in the comic. Tony tells his parents, and Spider-Man admits to himself that he's been living with a crippling shame and guilt of Skip's sex abuse until that very moment. Fun! Exclamation point.
Right. So, I mean, it's not a comic book about being against sexual abuse because no shit.
Well, yeah.
It's a comic book about like, it's okay to tell somebody you didn't do anything wrong. You don't need to be ashamed. Tell somebody.
Right. Well, the second one is Power Pack on the hunt for a classmate who ran away from home because her father sexually abused her and her mother didn't believe it. They find her and Power Pack's mom gives her a hotline number. Thanks, Power Pack. Thanks for using your incredible superpowers to open a phone book.
Hey, these are important issues.
Look, if I'm whoever created this Spider-Man and Power Pack versus sex abuse, that's a sticky wicket. I don't know how I approach this one. You
know? Well, I don't really think that that's a controversial position to say that sex abuse is bad.
No, I'm not saying that it's a controversial. It's just, how do you write about it tastefully? You know, like, in a sense.
Well, it's not like they showed it. They weren't graphic.
Well, I get that. But like Spider-Man, victim of sexual abuse, his buddy Skip. There you go. Checked his
cannon.
Oil. Checked his oil or something. I don't know. I don't want to know.
Oh, God.
Okay. So we've got some to pick from here. Who is our favorite? I think the most ludicrous one, I'm going to go with Harv, the Power Pack and Spidey against sex abuse. But I think my favorite is probably Jesse Kiefer because I love those Marvel Hostess comics so much. Those were great.
You know what? I'm going to go with Anthony.
Combo Man?
I'm going to go with Anthony mainly because I fondly remember the Combo Man ads and it's total bullshit. No one is going to be able to solve this mystery of who Combo Man is made up of because the costumes aren't distinct enough.
Grunwald.
And so it makes me mad.
Come on, Grunwald.
Come on, Grunwald. I'm glad he's dead. I'm just kidding. Mark Grunwald was a treasure and I miss him.
Well, Joe Patrick, do you have an answer?
Heck yeah, I had an answer right away, and I'm actually a little shocked that more than one person didn't bring it up, but I knew that my answer was going to be Hostess ads right from the jump.
Okay.
Because somebody already picked it, I will single out specifically the three Hostess ads that I remember the most fondly. The first one was a Daredevil one, where it was Daredevil versus Johnny Punk.
What?
And it was this stereotypical, like, punk rock looking dude with a green mohawk. His whole criminal scheme was to turn the music up too loud.
Son of a bitch.
And blast the roof off the nightclub or wherever the hell they were.
Friggin' punks. Ugh, always up to no good.
He was trying to brainwash him. He said he's going to turn the frequency up so high that they'll be brainwashed.
Brainwashed into what?
into doing whatever Johnny Punk wants.
What's Johnny Punk going to do? Let's go smoke cigarettes, you know, or like what?
Yeah, I don't know. So, of course, Daredevil shows up with his very super sensitive senses, and he dissuades them with some apple and cherry fruit pies, ties Johnny Punk and his thugs up in his billy club, and swings away as the grateful, very non-punk looking crowd cheers him on.
This is back when all punk rockers were just evil. They were bad. If you were a punk rocker, you were bad. Like, there was movies with, like, every time they needed just generic, like, bad guys, it was like dude with mohawk, like dude with green hair, where then they're all dressed sort of like the Sex Pistols.
Like, I don't know what Johnny Punk is backstage hatching this plot. And so the people that are actually on stage, I honestly couldn't tell you what kind of band they were. They are dressed in what looks like brightly colored yoga pants.
Whoa.
And He-Man haircuts.
Whoa. So they were like Swedish, one, like ABBA.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And one is playing a guitar and one is playing a ridiculously large trumpet.
Oh.
Who knows?
So not like ABBA.
Okay. No. The next one that I always go back to is the Hulk versus the Roller Disco Devils. It is a bunch of roller skate wearing, leather wearing ne'er-do-wells skating around town with like their boombox blasting, disturbing the neighborhood. And the Hulk shows up and rolls them up in the concrete. Like, he, like, lays them, he smashes them down onto the ground and then rolls the concrete around them like a ho-ho.
Pretty sure it doesn't work like that.
Also, they are all certainly dead. Because how do you survive that? But no, they're still alive inside of there. But that image just stayed with me of the Hulk rolling up these jerks like a homemade cigarette.
Now, I'm just going to drop this on you and you're going to freak out. Back in the day, there used to be a guy named Sean Baby on the web, and Sean,
I know Sean Baby,
Sean, yes, Baby. Yes. Well, I'm not necessarily speaking to you. I'm speaking to the listeners, but Sean Baby would review like Hostess comics and stuff. He has a whole page devoted to these Hostess comics, and it is all of them. Captain America, Captain Marvel, Daredevil, Fantastic Four, the Hulk, Iron Man. And then the other side is all DC, Aquaman, Batgirl, Batman. There's several of them. This is crazy.
I love it.
You can see them all. Oh,
my last one that I really remember as it from childhood was the Flash meets the bureaucrat. It's like bureaucrat, but there's a hyphen in there so that rat is separated.
Very clever.
And he is this fat old dude with a domino mask on, and he has invented a ray gun that literally shoots red tape. And so he brings the city to a screeching halt by covering it with red tape.
Son of a bitch. Somebody was trying to make a statement there.
Right. As a kid, I'm like, well, that's kind of weird. But as an adult, I realized that whoever wrote this is really working out some political issues.
No doubt.
And of course, the Flash makes short work of him and throws him on pie.
Yeah. Well, you know, the comics were one page. So what can you do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, mine's a full comic. Let's go back, shall we, to the year 1993.
Oh boy.
At that time, Michael Jordan's star was riding pretty high, but there was another NBA player who was also just huge. He's still around today. His name is Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley did an ad for Nike, and I believe it aired during the Super Bowl. I'm not positive. But in that ad, Charles Barkley takes on Godzilla on the basketball court.
Goddamn right he does.
And it was an incredible ad. Now, it was so popular that Dark Horse, who at the time had Godzilla as one of their properties, said, well, we've got to put out a Godzilla versus Charles Barkley comic book. And they did just that. It was,
yeah, that's right.
Nike presents Godzilla versus Charles Barkley. In the story, Charles Barkley is on a beach in California filming a commercial. His biggest fan just happens to be there. Some little black kid, right? And grandpa just happens to give the kid his magic silver dollar, right? For reasons. I don't know. He says,
yeah, reasons.
This is a magic silver dollar my grandma gave me when I was your age. It has magical properties. Kid says, oh, yeah? What's it ever done for you? And he says, boy, I once pitched a no-hitter against New York. Now, I ain't saying I didn't have the ability, yada, 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 right? He was a Yankee, pitched a no-hitter with a magic thing. So they find out that Godzilla is coming to California. And everybody freaks out. They're like, what do we do? And they're like, we got to shut down the commercial. And Charles Barkley is like, there's got to be something we can do. And the kid's like, I can help you, Charles. You got to stop Godzilla. Take my magic silver dollar. He gives it to Charles. And Charles, of course, instantly grows to giant size. Okay. Now, he doesn't bust out of his clothes. His clothes grow as well. And the basketball that he's holding also grows, right? From this point, they enlarge a basketball hoop off camera. Not really sure how that happened. Mount it to a building. And Charles challenges Godzilla to a game one-on-one, right? Of course, Charles wins pretty big time. Everybody's thrilled. And he's like throwing elbows into Godzilla and stuff. And Godzilla realizes the problem is I'm not wearing Nikes. So Charles, after he beats him, says, all right, man, I feel bad. I had kind of an unfair advantage. Gives him a pair of Charles Barkley Nikes. And the next panel we see is Godzilla slam dunking. And at the top, there's a little narration bubble that says, Godzilla got busy. It was incredible. It was incredible. So, like, you know, he just wanted to be better at basketball. That's all. And then Charles, of course, comes back to the city and gives the kid his magic, you know, silver dollar back. And we all felt better. We all learned something. Charles Barkley versus Godzilla from Dark Horse, written by Mike Barron.
Well, sure.
With plot by Alan Smithy. For those of you who don't know, Alan Smithy.
That is fake.
Not a real person. Alan Smithy is a name that is used when people want to take their names off the credit of a project. So somebody, I'm guessing it's the guy that drew it, was like, you know what? I don't have any part of this. Sorry. No, art by Jeff Butler. Art by Jeff Butler and Keith Aiken. I don't know either of those names.
Why would you be upset that you drew the Godzilla versus Charles Barkley?
Well, he didn't draw it. He plotted it. So maybe it was somebody super famous. I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe it was Chuck himself. Who knows? Chuck's a creative guy. We like him.
He wouldn't pass up a chance to put his name on something.
No, absolutely not. I would figure Charles would be like, hell yeah, I wrote it. You know I did.
Kick Godzilla's ass, too. He was great, man.
Oh, corporate comics. Corporate comic tie-ins. Wow. Thank you to everybody that answered this week. We have a new question. It's already up. Joe Patrick, what is it?
This week's question came from Anthony, currently residing in Brooklyn. He wants to know, who is on your comic book Mount Rushmore? Now, what that means is...
creator-wise, we're talking.
Four comic book creators that were instrumental in your development and appreciation for the hobby, for the medium. So not like who you think should be on there, who you personally would put on there.
Real people, create.
Comic book creators, yes, writers and artists.
Love it. I love it.
And I suppose editors as well.
Sure, sure, whatever. It's just your greatest. Who should be up there? The guys that we should be celebrating. And again, yours. For you, personally. There's no wrong answer. Unless you put Rob Liefeld up there. Then we've got a problem. But
you can put Rob Liefeld up there if you want.
If you want to, go right ahead. That's fine. That's fine. Thank you to everybody that called again. We don't have a show without you guys. It was a short one this week, but that's all right. It's nice to have a short job to do every once in a while. We'll be back with another episode of the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast this friggin' weekend. If you didn't see our review of Batman v Superman : Dawn of Justice, you can go to our YouTube channel, and it is up there. Joe and I threw a fit after we saw the movie, and then we fell in it. Good time. Thank you to everybody that watched it and commented on it, and thanks for your thumbs up. That is great. Now that we know you guys are digging it, we'll probably do more content like that. In the meantime, head over to the forums. Answer the question. Call us. Email us. Our Alec Baldwin AI is going to tell you how to do so. But for now, this is the Two-Headed Nerd signing off.
Hello there. This is the Two-Headed Nerd's Alec Baldwin AI thanking you for wasting your time and calling this show. I'll be honest. I'm just checking to see if the two morons that claim to have created me are even listening at this point. My guess is that they are playing with toys and using drugs to ease the pain of their failures as men. If you'd like to answer the question of the week, you can leave Joe and Matt a message at 402-819-4894. Or send your MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. Remember to share the air and keep your answer under 2 minutes, please.